Hi everyone, and welcome to the Brexit Podcast. I'm your host Jennifer Han, and the German Embassy has recently revealed that in the first 7 weeks after the EU referendum alone, over 400 applications for German citizenship have been submitted. Now, the majority of these people are descendants of Jewish refugees, which fled from Germany during the Holocaust, and according to law there, they are entitled to reclaim their citizenship. Usually this doesn't happen all that often. In the past years, the annual average has been around 20 to 25 applications. But since the UK's decision to leave the EU, these numbers have skyrocketed as British Jews want to retain their European passports. To get to the bottom of people's reasons for wanting to leave, Tim talked to Michael Newman, the chief executive of the Association of Jewish Refugees, who himself has submitted an application for German citizenship. They touched on a lot of interesting topics, including the divisive political climate at the moment and the psychological strain a return to Germany would put on people who lost their families to the Third Reich. And of course, they also talked about Donald Trump's victory last week, so stay tuned to hear Michael's take on the situation. If you enjoy the show, please rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice, because that's how people find out about us, and it really helps us out. To leave a comment, suggestion, complaint, and to stay up to date on all our Brexit news, you can also find us at brexitpodcast.com and on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Brexit Podcast.
Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Michael, just give us a little bit of background then. What's the Association of Jewish Refugees and why was it founded?
Well, the Association of Jewish Refugees, or as we know it, the AJR, was created by the refugees who fled to Britain from Nazi-occupied Germany and Austria. And there were some from the Czechoslovakia. And it was established as a self-help organization by the refugees to look after their interests while they were in Britain. And it was created to provide social welfare assistance and even as a source of employment for people. And obviously today, as those refugees have aged, we provide the services for them. It's very much an association of those refugees and their descendants as well. But whereas they were providing the assistance, the social welfare, the volunteering opportunities by themselves, for themselves and for each other, that's something as a charity we now provide those services to them. So it's a wide range of services that support and represent and look after the interests of those former refugees.
Okay. Now, the reason we wanted to get you on the show was because applications to the German embassy post-Brexit have soared. Before we get into that, can you just give us a little bit of your own personal background and why it holds an interest for you?
Yes, well, my grandmother was a refugee who came from Germany. She arrived on the 31st of August 1939, what she described as the proverbial last boat out of Germany. And she arrived as a domestic, so she'd managed to get a special visa, a domestic visa, which enabled her to work in Britain. And there were similar visas issued, taken by, it's thought, something like 15,000 refugees who came from occupied Austria and Germany. And this altogether, it's estimated that there are about 70,000 refugees who fled from Central Europe. And because of Brexit and the possible diminution of rights and entitlements that membership of the European Union entails, I was interested to explore possibility of ways of retaining those rights, and one of them is to have the citizenship of another country. In my case, it was Germany, and there's a particular law, Article 116 of the Basic Law, which entitles people who were the victims of Nazi oppression and their descendants to reacquire German citizenship. I have to say it's slightly complicated in my case because although she was living in Germany and she worked in Germany and paid taxes in Germany, when she came to Britain, she came on a Polish passport, because she'd actually been born in what was at the time Poland, which was then part of Austro-Hungary. So we're talking pre-First World War. So my precise entitlement is not yet proven. It's something I'm looking into. But my reaction to Brexit was that I wanted to try and secure a way of retaining the rights and entitlements that European Union citizenship bestows on people.
Sure. Now, you're not the only one who's sort of looking down this route. And one of the facts that did really spark our interest, and I'm sure you probably got figures on this, but I have something here that says that in the 7 weeks post the EU referendum, there was 400 applications to the German embassy in London. Previous years, there's been an average of around 20 to 25 per year. Do you think those figures are correct? And then why do you... I guess that chimes with your own thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, I mean, those figures are not ones I personally can substantiate, or even the AJR can, because we don't obviously work at the embassy. I mean, we have colleagues there, and we're receiving information from them. In fact, we've received the information we've received about the process to apply and the information and the guidance, something that we've passed on to people who've been in touch with us. But obviously, we're acting more as a conduit of information there rather than as a processing agency. But I think those figures have been asked and checked by colleagues in the media, and I think some of the figures come also not only from the German embassy in London, but from the relevant authorities back in Germany. And I think, I mean, it's perhaps unsurprising, but the law through which people can explore this possibility, this Article 116, obviously has existed on the statute books for many years, but perhaps little known, and perhaps hasn't been invoked as much as people would perhaps expect. But of course, there's a very emotional, psychological aspect to taking German citizenship for some people, and it's probably taken something as seismic as Brexit for them to fully explore that possibility. So whereas they may have known about it before, it was almost theoretical, but yeah, now it offers a practical opportunity. They perhaps are exploring it in a bit more interest.
Yeah, I think the psychological aspect is interesting, that they must feel so strongly about what's happened in this country that they're going to make a move back to where they're where their grandparents were persecuted, to those very lands. Do you think that is something that's they're wrestling with that as a decision? Is it something that you've thought a lot about?
Yeah, I think that is a consideration. I can't speak for others. What I would say is, in my case, and I realise that I'm working in this field of Holocaust remembrance, so perhaps have a different take from others, but my impression when I visit Germany and talk to colleagues and visit museums and exhibitions there is that Germany has led the way in dealing with post-Holocaust issues. Now, the obvious response is that, well, that's fully expected, but it comes with it is a real interest to explore the dark history and creating a culture of remembrance and integrating Holocaust education into the curriculum in such a constructive way that people can fully explore that part of Germany's history. And obviously it's seminal in world history, 20th century history, but to keep it relevant and current by creating new resources, creating opportunities for people to learn and almost integrate it into society, into the culture of the country, is something that they've done to a much greater extent than others. I think some other countries in Europe are still wrestling with their own history and their own dark pasts. And I think that would
No, please, carry on.
That would definitely help persuade or assure people that this is something which the subject is taken seriously. The other thing I would say is that when you're for some people that what happened between 1930s and obviously until 1945, the Nazi era, that alone doesn't define Germany. I mean, for many of the members of the AJR, they remember very fondly about their early childhood, and people have spoken about life in pre-war Germany. Obviously, there was nationalism, there was anti-Semitism, and there was difficulties in the 20s with Weimar, but for many people, Germany was their country, and their country of their families, and they grew up in their formative years, and for many people, they don't want their experiences to the experience of Nazi persecution to be the only thing that defines Germany.
The flip side of this is quite a damning indictment on the UK, though.
No, I think people have long held dual citizenships and passports for other countries and use them as documents to travel, use passports to travel to different countries using different passports. I mean, nobody is also saying that this means that there's going to be necessarily an exit from Britain. I think it's just a practical document to have. People want to work or travel or live in another country. I mean, we're all kind of watching the space about what the precise terms of Brexit mean. So if there's any compromise of the single market or travelling or living, then having the opportunity to keep the connection with the European Union by having a citizenship in another country just becomes a very practical matter.
Yeah, in looking into this, have you found that there are other... there's other bits of legislation where different groups of society could also retain European Union citizenship
from other countries? I don't think other countries have a similar law that covers the reinstatement of citizenship because it was revoked because of national socialist persecution. I think other countries have opportunities to take the citizenship if certain relatives came from there or held that citizenship originally. I know, I mean, anecdotally, a lot of people are talking about exploring the possibility of Irish citizenship, for example. Austria reinstates automatically the citizenship of anybody who asks it, who was born there. So, for example, people who came as refugees from Austria can automatically have their citizenship reinstated because Austria considers it never to have been officially revoked, so it's just formalising an arrangement that they see was already in place, just hasn't been formally done.
So how long will it take?
Well, I know some people who have already done it, and it took literally a matter of a few weeks. I suspect that if there's many more people applying, that it will take a bit longer now, but I know people who have done it since Brexit.
And sure.
It's obviously taken, well, we were now 5 months, 4 months afterwards, but it took them a few weeks.
Yeah. And has there been, sort of anecdotally, but have there been anybody who's speaking up and said that they would have been a victim of hate crimes post-Brexit or have received any kind of negative attitude towards them personally?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, I'm aware, reported in Britain, there would have been some xenophobic attacks, I think, on some Polish people, Romanian people, but nobody within the descendants of the German Jewish refugee community has had anything like that. And don't forget, we're not, I mean, making the parallels, making the connection between the 1930s is obviously symbolic, but nobody's talking about anything like the atmosphere in the 1930s in 2016, I think it just becomes a very practical consideration for people.
Understood. What's the situation like now in Germany, though? Because whilst is it, you know, to sort of use the phrase out of the frying pan into the fire, does Germany have its own problems with the rise potentially of the far right again?
Yeah, I mean, we're speaking today after the election of Trump and after the Brexit vote. I mean, there's always worrying news or dispiriting news about the treatment of people who are fleeing persecution, stories of refugees. There is a continuous negative stream of information that comes when you talk about refugees, it seems. And I suppose for people who watch what's happening in Europe and in the world, there's almost a despair that there's a lack of leadership, particularly from the European Union, in trying to provide sanctuary for people who are fleeing persecution, considering that's what the European Union was founded upon, and out of the Second World War and out of the displacement and the persecution. So you'd like to think it could do better when it comes to looking after or helping people who are fleeing similar persecution or oppression today. When it comes to Germany specifically, I think the numbers of people who are actively seeking the citizenship and who will actually move there are very small overall.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, the number of inquiries that have been lodged at the relevant authorities or inquiries made to the embassy doesn't translate necessarily directly into people taking the getting the citizenship and then moving there.
Sure, so it's exploring the options.
I think it's very much that, and especially because there's uncertainty around Brexit, and whatever happens is at least 2 years away, or even longer if the situation in the courts and the government contests the High Court ruling. So there's a lot to happen over the next few years. And again, I think it's too simplistic to make direct comparisons between what's happening today in Germany or the flow of migrants or refugees, and then looking back historically at what happened. So I think we just have to watch the space, unfortunately. It's difficult to predict now what will happen.
Yeah, where do you see yourself residing in a couple of years?
In Britain.
In Britain, yeah.
Yeah.
And if people did choose to move from Britain to Germany, would that be a big loss to our own economy here? It would be quite a talent drain.
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the things people are citing. I think they're looking at the situation. I mean, nobody wants to see a situation where countries are losing young or talented or qualified professionals. But I don't have a sense that is actually what's happening, and I don't have a sense that that's something that will happen. I think this is. It's particularly we're talking about people exploring the option of German Jewish refugees or descendants taking back citizenship, partly as a symbolic thing, partly as a practical thing if they want to travel or work temporarily or live temporarily overseas. Some people may wish to do it longer, but I can't see the trend being for people just to wholesale up sticks and moving. I don't see that happening now.
Sure. Is there ever any sort of positive discrimination levelled against what's happening here in terms of giving Jews an opportunity to go back and take German citizenship where potentially other areas of society can't?
No, I think you're talking, in the case of this Article 116, you're talking about a very specific law
yeah.
that addresses a very unique set of circumstances, and it comes back to a point from earlier that in the normal course of events, people, and there had been no Nazi era, there'd been no rise of National Socialism, people may have continued to live in Germany, and all this does is reinstate a right that was revoked because of oppression, because of a despotic regime. So, yeah, I can't see that it's in any way un or discriminatory or giving a favour to one group in society more than another, not least because people from whose family hail from other countries are looking similarly. So you've apparently got MPs, number of MPs reportedly looking into their Irish ancestry. I mean, there's a huge Irish diaspora in Britain, and people are just exploring that possibility.
Yeah, and I guess just finally, we are on the morning of a historic day in world politics. Trump has been elected, it sounds almost unbelievable to say, as the new president of the United States. What are your immediate thoughts on that situation?
Well, concern, alarm, disbelief. I think for people like coming from Britain, having gone through Brexit, thinking that was pretty shocking, and then the rest of the world would kind of look at that and think, is that something almost to be copied, or is that something that could never ever happen again? And then you think and you hope that it could never happen. But it's also, it gives you a sense that there's a sort of worrying trend of illiberal values and more division. And you hear politicians talk about coming together, and there will always be moments after the election where the victor says, now it's a time for healing and now it's a time to bring us all back together. But you get a sense with comments that he makes that there is huge division, and it's a worrying trend because you have elections next year in France and Germany, and these are countries together with Britain that are supposed to be the leaders of the developed world, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
And it's profoundly disturbing that that people like Trump and others in particularly like Le Pen in France, or the rise of the AfD in Germany, although it's a smaller party, but there is a move for people supporting those kind of people and those kind of parties. It's profoundly disturbing.
And that's it for today. I really hope you enjoyed the show, and if you did, please do feel free to subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher so you'll be notified whenever we upload a new episode and you'll be able to tune in. In the meantime, you can find us at brexitpodcast.com and on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at brexitpodcast. The show is produced by Jennifer Han, Tim Hemming, and Warren Paul, and our theme song is Cool Vibes by Kevin MacLeod.